A man with a cracked epidermis peppered with bloody cuts and flakes of dead skin drifting off his body like snowflakes in the wind. That was my appearance for the last few months. Around April, May last year, my eczema reemerged after having been in remission since sometime in 2013. And my appearance got all sorts of reactions from people. I received weird looks, and people also frequently tried giving me advice. Stuff like, ah, but have you tried this cream? It does wonders. Or perhaps try drinking a little more water. And you know, lunch breaks were no different. So it was in July, and this shopkeeper who usually serves me my panini started looking at me the way a doctor in a soap opera looks at a dying patient. Your skin, it is very dry, he said. Yep, it sure is, I said, mildly annoyed. Here we go again, that familiar dance I have done with many, many strangers. You should try putting on some yogurt. It really cools down the skin, he said. Sure, I'll give it a whirl, I said. I was humoring him. I get advice like this all the time. I'm allergic to milk, so I threw this piece of wisdom into my mind's garbage disposal unit. And also, he said, sounding almost excited, starch. Get some starch and put it on your body. It will cool it down. Starch? I strained to hear him. Yeah, like cornstarch. It's very cheap and has no side effects. Oh, okay, well, I'll give it a shot and see how it goes, I said. Again, I was humoring him. I was not convinced. His advice, in a nutshell, was that I keep putting food on myself until I got better. Anyways, the next few nights, my condition got worse. My doctor had prescribed me an extremely expensive cream, which helped cure me of some of my disposable income, but little else. I was getting desperate. One evening, as I was doing my usual rounds at the no-frills grocery store in my neighborhood, I found myself passing through the baking aisle. I picked a yellow box off the shelf. It was no-name brand cornstarch. I wouldn't go near the yogurt section, though. I went home, and once I had finished taking a shower, I reached into the box of cornstarch and patted a handful of the white powder on my face. Then I took several fistfuls and covered my entire body with the starch. I looked like a ghost, like a Neanderthal who had just put on war paint. Regardless, I looked ridiculous. I felt like it too. The starch had formed into clumps, gathering at unhealed cuts that would normally be covered by scabs. It had clung to parts of my beard, clogged my nose, and crept up into my hair. I was hideous. Victimized, bullied, and abused by this baking ingredient, I averted my eyes from the mirror and did what any self-respecting millennial would do in that situation. I rushed off my room, grabbed my iPad, and took a selfie, chuckling to myself like a crazy person. I still have that picture. The starch made me grin like an idiot for a while, but it didn't even come close to curing or helping or doing anything for my eczema. It was a failure. So today on the show, we're talking about dealing with failure, trying things out and falling flat on our faces. You're listening to Keeping Me Humble, the show that talks about the tough stuff in life, the things that keep us humble. I'm Stephen Chua. A lot of people don't realize it, but being a writer is like walking on a minefield, especially if you have your own newspaper column. It's a game of tiny details. Being off by a word can make the difference between an audience understanding what you have to say or having hundreds of people writing in the comment section how you deserve to go to hell. The next guy we're talking to knows exactly what I'm talking about. Adrian McNair is a columnist for the Surrey Now newspaper, and he wrote an article that made him a target for many animal lovers across British Columbia. Last year, a dog walker named Emma Paulson left 6 dogs in her vehicle where they died from heat stroke. She was recently sentenced and is serving jail time under animal cruelty charges. McNair recently wrote a column questioning whether it was fair to ruin Paulson's life because several dogs died. People didn't receive his opinion well. for example, they said,
"You're a jerk,"
and
"You're an a-hole,"
or
"I should be left in a hot car to die."
And they even went so far as to say,
"They were calling for my death. I didn't take that too seriously. That was more like, you know, it would be nice if you died kind of thing. But what actually..."
It would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
people were saying, "We're not going to let this issue go until you're fired."
There was so much backlash, the paper had to write an apology. The editors stopped printing Adrian's column, and some advertisers even threatened to pull out. So what happened? The audience didn't seem to fully understand what Adrian was trying to say in the article. I mean, the kind of reaction that happened because of it was way out of proportion to what he was trying to say. So there was definitely some misunderstanding there. And Adrian also admits there was also a failure on his part. He could have worded his argument better.
I mean, it was all over the place. One, I was trying to get, you know, the dog cred by saying, "Hey, I was a dog owner." But I came off as looking callous, like I didn't care about my dog. Like, losing our dog was hard, you know. It was difficult. You know, I still remember the day that we put her down. And, you know, my wife was crying because she was holding the dog while the doctor put in the euthanasia needle and felt her heart stop beating. And, you know, it was sad. Like, tears were shed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in my article, it sounded like, "Oh, we just put stupid dog down." You know, when I wrote stupid dog, it was almost an inside joke that, in retrospect, okay, I knew that people wouldn't understand. But other things as well, saying dogs are inconsequential. They're inconsequential in context of human life. Like, when you talk about 300 people being murdered by the Taliban in Afghanistan versus, you know, 1,000 dogs dying in Canada, there's no comparison.
I thought about all this, and I asked Adrian, if he had a chance to write it all over again, what would he have said about Emma Paulson?
She made a horrible mistake. She probably panicked. She probably thought, "What am I going to do? My life is over. I'm going to get sued by these people." Tried to hide the dogs. It got worse. Haven't we all been in a situation where we did something really stupid? We panicked. We didn't know what to do. We lied to our parents. We lied to a friend. And then later we said, "You know what? I lied. I'm sorry. What a horrible mistake." So I thought, on a basic human level, can you not empathize with another person? Are you perfect? You never made a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, and at the end of the day, it was dogs that she killed, and she was a dog lover. Who becomes a dog walker who's not a dog lover? In my understanding, she lost her own dog in that car. And perhaps there was a way through the justice system that she could have made reparations. There's all sorts of talk about restorative justice these days and reconciliation, and maybe she could have repaid these owners in other ways.
Adrian McNair is a reporter with the Surrey Now newspaper. Sometimes bad things happen to us even though it's no fault of our own. It can cause us to feel like failures even though we had nothing to do with creating the problem. Suzette Lacqua knows what this feels like. She had a bunch of very unlucky things happen to her. But it was those problems that spurred her to create the Vancouver Webfest, which just finished its second year. This gathering gives filmmakers who publish their work to the internet, as opposed to TV or the theater, a chance to showcase their work. It all started off with an accident.
I slipped on a leaf and, like, basically just went up and straight down onto my bum.
Suzette didn't think anything of it at first. She experienced a few aches and pains, but she was pregnant at the time, and aches and pains were kind of the norm. But something happened that made her realize just how severe the injury was. It all started when she tried to pick up her 3-month-old boy.
I turned, and my pinchner just about made me fall over, and I put him back on the bed, and he fell off the bed. And it's no longer about me, but the safety of my baby.
She was eventually able to get treatment, but in the meantime, her back injury kept her from holding down a job. And she was also struggling when it came to taking care of her child. She wound up in a dark place for a while.
I had to get care in for my kids, you know? I couldn't play with them, and I couldn't carry them, and I couldn't do all these things, so I felt like a failure as a mom. And I needed 2 shoulder surgeries and a wrist surgery, and then I also removed one of my discs in my back.
And then, even more bad luck.
And then in the meantime, my mom and dad both died of cancer 2 years, and my dog died of congestive heart failure. And then again, people were dying around me, and I felt like a failure as a daughter, like that I couldn't save my mom. And I couldn't save my dog. And, you know, and so all these tragedies were happening, but I was blaming myself.
But there was one good thing that came out of all the struggle. Around this time, one of Suzette's friends asked her if she wanted to help him work on a comedy series. She agreed.
His Last Chance Casting.
Last Chance Casting, okay.
And it was about a dysfunctional casting agency.
The project gave her something to work toward, and once they were finished filming the series, they went to the LA Web Fest where they showcased it. But then, just about everyone won a participant's award, but Suzette didn't.
Like, he gave out 600 and some awards, and we didn't get one.
Oh.
And we're like, and it wasn't just us, there was a couple other web series that didn't get these, you know, millions of awards he gave out. And we're like, kind of going, what? But at the time, it was a bummer to me, and this other girl, their web series didn't get anything. And there was a few other people that were kind of like, he just gave out 600 and some awards. And really? We couldn't get one? You know, so, anyway.
It was hard to swallow. Although she thinks the snub was probably unintentional, she says she registered late for the festival and it was probably too late for the organizers to make another award. But even though she had faced failure, the experience was inspiring for Suzette. It gave her an idea to start her own web festival.
Now we're in our second year and we got people coming in from all over the world, and I'm excited, I'm nervous, I'm, you know, all these different emotions, you know, kind of thing, but all good emotions. I don't think I wanted people to prove to myself that, you know, to my family that I wasn't a failure, you know, that I could do something with my life, even with all the stuff that had happened.
Suzette Lacqua is the founder of the Vancouver Web Festival, which just finished up its second year. Check out her web series, Last Chance Casting. Okay, just about everyone has to deal with a lot of pressure. At work, at home, and at school, there's always a need to succeed. But for most of us, when we fail, we're usually letting down ourselves and sometimes our family and friends as well. But when some people fail, it can let a whole nation down. That's an incredible amount of pressure, which is exactly what Sumi Uchiage was feeling when she competed at the World Karate Championships in Berlin. She was representing Canada.
That was in November. It was my second Senior World Championships, and I felt a lot more prepared going into it. And I felt awesome doing the conditioning, the trainings at the site when we traveled there, when I went up to do my routine.
A quick explainer. She was competing in kata. So in these matches, the martial artists execute a complicated sequence of predetermined moves. And whoever pulls off those moves best wins. So they don't actually fight each other.
I don't know if it was nerves, but I probably only was able to execute about 80% of what I was prepared to do. I think it was a match that I could have won, but because I didn't display what I was able to, I lost the match. I think if I was able to beat that first girl, then I would have gotten a good shot at top 8 and top 16. My coaches were a little disappointed. Mm. I could see it in their faces. I was disappointed, and I think it was the first time I really felt like I let down Canada. I lost a shot. Everything in the moves, like, I wasn't as fast as I usually am. I wasn't as, there was no stability. So a little loss of balance here and there. And I think just mentally, I wasn't in the zone.
She was able to recover from the loss with the help of her coach and her brother. And she tried competing in Canada's national championships afterward. But then,
this nationals, I lost to my sister in finals in January. She was my older sister, so it's not that big of a deal. It is still a disappointment. I still want to beat her all the time.
how did that feel? Because I know some people sometimes, like, sibling rivalry kind of gets the better of
them. It sucks. Yeah. With us too, like, we've been competing with each other for a long time. We've been top two in the country for a long time. This year was my first year I lost to her in a couple of years, so it definitely was not a good feeling. It was a split decision in the finals, so it was a really close match. You know, I could have won, but I'm happy that she won as well. So it's a very complex situation, I think.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. If you can't believe in yourself, believe in the people around you that are supporting you, and just try to keep moving forward.
Sumi is going to be competing again at the Pan American Karate Championships in Toronto next week. Even though she's had it tough for the last while, things are looking up. She was recently named as one of Richmond, BC's top 30 under 30 by the Richmond Review. Keeping Me Humble is produced by me, Stephen Chua. Namunaro is the music producer with additional tunes from Kai Watson and Smiling Cynic. Thanks, friends. That's Gab Sung Lim, Liam Mertz, and Andrew Topalov. Keeping Me Humble is on PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, stay humble.